Good morning. We continue with our study of the Daily Nachyomi. We are in Sefer Shoftim Perek Dalet, and we learn Li'ilui Nashmas Abi Mori Harini Kaparas Mishkavo HaRav Hila Ben HaRav Meir Yechiel Mechel. Today, we begin to talk about one of the most dramatic episodes that takes place, perhaps in all of Tanakh, the beginning, for Ashkenazim at least, of the Haftorah for Parshas Beshalach. Bnei Yisrael had begun to do Rabbi Ne'ashem while Eyud Ben Gir was still alive. But he still had Schus, says the Malbim, and so therefore, that Schus protected him. But after Eyud died, Hashem gave Bnei Yisrael into the hands of Yavin Melech Canaan, who, by the way, once upon a time had been a leader of Chatzor, who, when Yoshua conquered it, Yavin was now living in Charoshes HaGoyim, in this very, very powerful area, says Rashi, and he had a new general who fortified the area, and his name was Sisera, and that general was stationed over there. So according to Das Sofrim, this happened 150 years earlier that Yoshua had conquered Chatzor. And the Canaanim had rebuilt that city into their area of power, keeping it as it had been, to the extent that the king still has the same name. So it wasn't necessarily the same man, but the kings were all called Yavin. So the first two enemies that we're finding over here are people on the border of Eretz Yisrael, and Bnei Yisrael had never fought them. But now we have the Canaanim in the north, and far from the areas where Osniel and Eyad were serving, and now we find that they're oppressing Bnei Yisrael. So it must have been the Schus of Devorah, of Barak, the Nevuah, that Am Yisrael had a Yeshua at this time. So Sisera had 900 iron chariots, and he oppresses Bnei Yisrael for 20 years. So Bnei Yisrael call out to Hashem, and they do tshuva. Just calling out to Hashem and doing nothing doesn't mean anything. And so they call out to Hashem, and they make efforts to correct his ways, as they did in the time of Osniel and Ehud. And they knew that tefillah alone was not going to work. And the Medrash says that Sisera went in the opposite direction. He became quite a Baal Gaiva, and he humiliated Bnei Yisrael by cursing at them and saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already abandoned them, right? Just like we saw the other day in the Daf HaYomi in regard to certain others who also had challenged Bnei Yisrael. Anyway, we begin at this point and get introduced to one of the more famous characters of all of Sefer Shoftim, Devorah HaNeviah. And we're told Devorah HaNeviah, she's the wife of Lapidos. The Eliyahu Rabba says she came from the tribe of Naphtali. She was the Shofetess at this time. The Mefarshim, beginning with Tosus in a number of places in Chaz, try to figure out how would she be able to judge the people. Some want to point out that Bnei Yisrael accepted her because she was able to go ahead and offer judgment based on the Shekhinah. She was a Neviah. And of course that raises certain questions because Torah is supposed to be La B'Shamayim Hi. Some point out in the Tosfos that what? They accepted her. Kiblu Alayu, right? That they had accepted her at that point in time, and that was the reason. The Maritzchias points out that some in the Tosfos point out that she never actually judged the people. She was a Mechaneches. She taught the people. She taught them the Dinim. And some point out that Tosus in other places, I think in Nida, points out that some maintain that women are allowed to judge. They just can't testify. But so again, we've got the four reasons that she paskin based on Shekhinah, that the people accepted. If the people want to accept a chicken who plays tic-tac-toe on the Lower East Side as a judge, they could do that as well. The fact is that if that works for the two parties, that works for the two parties. We also pointed out that she taught the halachos, or perhaps even that women can judge. She's described as Ishas Lapidos. She's the woman of fire. So some people want to point out that that meant her husband's name was Barak. Her husband's name was Lightning. Some say she prepared, the Gemara says she prepared wicks for the Beis HaMikdash. It is pointed out by some of the Mefarshim that perhaps it's possible that she was the Gilgul, the Kabbalistic equivalent of the soul of Tzipora Ishes Moshe, and Moshe's face shone, as we see in this week's Parsha, Kikaran Or Panov. And so since his face shone, she was the Gilgul, she was Ishes Lapidot, she was like a torch. So whatever it is, Devorah, when she first came into her position as a Shofetess, the people didn't exactly listen, 100%, says the Medrash in Rus Rabba. The people who came to her did so voluntarily, but it wasn't accepted across the board. So Devorah lived under a Tomer Devorah, under a palm tree near Yericho, says Rashi, And of course, why is she under the palm tree? So the Gemara Megillah explains that that's because she didn't want to violate Yichud. The Archlaner asks, what kind of Yichud is that? Her husband should have been in the neighborhood. And we say, Isha Bala Mishamra. But the answer is that no, her husband would go to Shiloh to go find the people who needed their judgment, and he would bring them. And so since she wasn't always home, she made sure that when she sat in a place where the leaves were high, so there would be no question of Yichud in this process. And others point out that no, she, when we say she lived in, she lived Bein Aramo, Bein Beisel, Bahar Ephraim, Targum Yonason says no, that's where she made her living. She had wealth that stemmed from the palm trees and the olive trees and special soil that were sold. So Devorah calls Barak, who perhaps was her husband, from Kedesh Naphtali, and she has a nevuah, and she says, Hashem said that Yavin's army is going to be destroyed. Now was the time to fulfill that mitzvah. And Barak was told to draw 10,000 men from Naphtali and Zvulun. Now the people were afraid to go ahead and challenge Naphtali and Zvulun, but that's why he was told to go and persuade them to go. So Naphtali and Zvulun were the tribes that had suffered the most under the Knanim, so therefore we started over there. I just want to point out that perhaps it's also because she didn't want to go ahead and raise the ire and the interest of Sisera and his attention. She would hope that others would join when she came. So Barak gets told that Sisera and his chariots and his army will be drawn to the Kishon, Nachal Kishon, and they would be given into his hands. And Sisera had to be drawn to the battle because the astrologers told him he was going to be defeated. So Hashem got him, according to the Radak, to become interested and to become brought closer. The fact is that Barak tells Devorah, "Im telchi imi v'halachti. If you'll go with me, then I'll go. V'im lo selchi imi lo eilech. If you won't go, I ain't going." So she was afraid. She was afraid because he thought to himself that without Devorah's influence, how am I going to find 10,000 people going to come? And not only that, I can't do that unless I have your zechus. So Devorah says, okay, that's okay, but you should just know that the battle, that because you were hesitant, biyada isha yimkar Hashem es Sisera. So the Meshech Chachma explains, which isha are we talking about? Meshech Chachma says it must be Ya'el, Eishas Chavar Akeni. It's not going to be my credit, it's going to be hers, because look what she gave up, look how she sold herself. She sold her future in that process. And we pointed that out in our points to ponder for Parshas B'Shalach. And this Barak was saying that Sisera was going to be killed by a woman, Yael, and that would all be proof that this came from Hashem. So the fact is that Barak gathers 10,000 men from Zvulun and Naphtali, and she brings them to Kadesh, and Devorah goes there as well. And they had no horses, they had no chariots, and so they had to go, either they were unable to find horses or chariots, or they went by foot, says the Das Zofrim, not to attract the Canaan's attention. Chever Akeni, just parenthetically, who is a descendant of Yisro, he had separated from the rest of his brothers, and he set up his tents next to Kadesh. And that was part of Hashem's Hashkacha, so that Sisera would be defeated by a woman, says the Malbim. His Yael was already known as a great person that the people went to for judgment as well. And so now he was explaining that's why Chever Akeni's stuff happened to be over here, and that's why it works out to the advantage. Anyway, Sisera gets told that Barak had gone to Har Tabor, and he started to get ready for battle. So he brings his chariots, and he brings everyone to Nachal Kishon. And the fact that Sisera went and brought his whole army shows that he must have been fearful of Hashem, because this is only 10,000 men. What is she so worried about? Devorah tells Barak not to stay on the mountain, even though the mountain has a strategic advantage, says the Abarmanel, says the Malbim, but instead to go down to Nachal Kishon, go down to the valley, where your troops get more vulnerable, because of Malach Hashem is already there, you have nothing to worry about. So Barak storms down the mountain, he takes the 10,000 soldiers, and Hashem destroys Sisera and his army, and even before Barak's army gets close to the sister's troops, the sounds of the chariots and the horses terrified the enemy. They started running away. That's the way the Malbim tells the story. And the thundering sounds confuse the troops, who start killing each other in a panic. Sisera's army start running back to Harosh HaSagoyim until all of them are killed. Now, Sisera doesn't run away with the rest of his army. he knew he'd get caught. Instead, he ran to the tent of Yael, Eishes Chever Akeni, Biraglov, Sisra Nas Biraglov, the pasuk says. And why does he run by his feet? Why is that important for the Navi to tell us that? So the great Ben Ish Chai, Rav Yosef Chaim of Baghdad, points out that he was running with his feet, not with his head. My parents always taught us, when you run, make sure you run with your seichel. But he just ran, he was running away. And so he thought that the peace between Yavin and Chever would be enough. So Sisra asks Yael to give him some water, and she covers him with a blanket, or perhaps she had him put on women's clothing, whatever it was to hide him. And she gives him milk. And his sister was so terrified, he covered himself. He never raised his head. So sister tells Yael, stand by the door. Anyone who tells you that they want to come in, you're supposed to tell them that there's no man over here. And while sister was sleeping, Yael takes the stake of the tent and a hammer, and she takes the stake and drives it into his temple, and it goes through his head and into the ground. By the way, the Gemara points out, based on this, we see that weaponry, standard swords, are considered what we call Beged Ish. As Bar comes searching for Sisra, Yael comes in and says, the person you're looking for is in the tent. And so he goes in, and he finds Sisra dead on the floor. So then the Canaanim that went to war, they get annihilated. Yavin stops torturing Bnei Israel, and the government eventually gets destroyed, but other Canaanim continue to remain at the time. This is the story. Tomorrow we'll sing all about the Shiras Devorah. Everyone have a fantastic and amazing day.